This is Callie Wright from the Gaytheist Manifesto, and you're listening to Inciting Incident.
People choose the news they want now, but we
can't
overcome
that. People choose the facts they want now.
I don't mind being dejected and rejected, but I'm not going to be ashamed about it.
I can do that.
See, Joy, that's the beauty of argument. Because if you argue correctly, you're never wrong.
The truth and a lie are not sort of the same thing.
Good evening. It's Friday and it's 7 p.m., which means it's time for the Inciting Incident podcast, supported by our patrons and available on Libsyn, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Android, LiveJournal, Google Plus, The Hard Harry Show, News Radio, WHP 580, Rock and Emily's bed radios that are somehow appropriate for children that age, most tin cans connected with string, Tumblr, Snapchat, Zanga, LimeWire, WinMX, Napster. We'll have to spell it with two Y's there to escape Big Brother. The DCI, the Enchantment Under the Sea Dance, the plate in Pete and Pete's mother's head, and any other podcast app that somehow escapes this list. And now, here's your host, Al Lehman.
Hi, everybody. This is your host, Al Lehman. I'm coming in early on this one for multiple reasons, and you'll have to excuse the wind in the background. I can't really do much about it, even with the studio here. So if you hear something in the background that sounds like someone blowing, it's either the wind or... Yeah, I don't even need to finish that. You know where I'm going with it. So look, I'm coming on before this episode because... The actual episode is a bit emotional for a lot of us. We went through three states as we recorded it. There's me, Astrid, and who we'll call Victoria, about 5 days after the election. And I realize our most recent episode that aired was on election night. Well, we needed to get the hell away for a little while, and I had a job, so we went down to Fort Lauderdale. And what you're hearing is us talking about that and other things that had transpired in those few days. But we're going to split this into two parts. So this will be 68 and 69, except for those of you on Patreon. So you can hear all the ranting in its glory. But I think it's really important to come on after the fact and say that not everything we talked about was rational. And that's fine. But it's also not okay that so many people seem so intent on denying our First Amendment rights. We are 12 days from after the election now. We were recording a week ago today. And things just seem to keep going in the direction that everybody was telling us that we were paranoid. You know, that's where they're going. And it's hard to feel both disempowered and criticized for not liking being disempowered. It's also very difficult to hear the hypocrisy because all the people who've been doing nothing but calling Obama a Russian space Nazi for the last 8 years... are now saying, well, just give the president a chance. We all need to come together. And that's not possible. And that's usually the sign of someone who feels uncomfortable with you disagreeing and would rather silence you. I may not be as full of vitriol as I was on this day, and I apologize in advance for that. But my heart is still in the same place, as you could hear on the last episode, no doubt. So we're going to continue to use this platform to give voices to those who feel disenfranchised. And by that, I do not mean working class white people who think that because other people have rights, they've lost theirs. I'm talking to people who actually have had to deal with major problems in the last 2 weeks, like wondering if they're going to have health care or if their marriage isn't going to be legal anymore or if they're going to be assaulted for being something. It's a scary time. And, you know, in 3 months when we nuke Finland because someone made a Cheeto joke, I'm sure this will be hilarious in retrospect. But back to one of the first episodes we ever did, I did, I believe, in April. I was called paranoid, ridiculous, and told that he would never be president for a solo rant slash editorial that we did. I think it was between episode 5 and 6. And pretty much everything I said in that episode has come true. And now he's hiring a bunch of racist white supremacists to run the cabinet. So this give a chance thing is something that you have to be pretty fucking privileged to say. And I realize that's a buzzword and it immediately puts people on the defensive. But when the outcome doesn't affect you all that much, so you can say things like it doesn't really matter who's president. It may not matter to you, but to those of us who are vulnerable, it sure the fuck is. This is going to get interesting, but I wanted to come on in advance and first of all thank our patrons, our supporters in Mind Aquarium and Warrior of the Crystal. We do have some new Patreon supporters, and when we get the gang back together again, I will make sure that we give them compliments appropriately, but our guest for episode 70 had to reschedule, so it's just kind of me right now. And we kind of need a break. I'm writing a book that is meant to be an immediate reaction, and I'm going to publish it as quickly as possible. And Chris Clue is writing the foreword, so thank you. But also, the guy who led the crusade against safe spaces is now demanding that actors apologize because they violated Mike Pence's safe space. So it really goes down to what Brian said, and I don't really know what episode it was, but it's true, where he said they want safe spaces just for themselves and nobody else. I'm going to be on Gay Theist Manifesto on Thanksgiving Live. So if you want to tune into that, I mean, it's already aired by the time this episode will air, unless you're a patron, but Callie and Ari are two of the voices that are really going to need to be heard in the next 4 years, and we're going to make ours louder and more assertive, so we have to join those ranks because we need each other right now, and people can make fun of us, people can call us whiny, they can call us losers, they can call us PC, whatever it is, we need each other, and I cannot emphasize that enough. Don't be shamed into not protesting if you feel that there is injustice. It is just as much about being there for other people as it is voicing your dissent. And do not let people say, if you hear anyone say, stop protesting, Republicans didn't act like this when Obama got elected. First of all, yes, they fucking did. Where were you when they were burning him in effigy and claiming it was the arrival of Satan? The difference is we're afraid of Donald Trump because we're afraid he's going to actually do the things that he actually said. Big difference. Okay. How much shit was made up about how he was coming to get your guns and all that bullshit, and never did he even once say it? His campaign, Penn specifically, has articulated that LGBT rights are the first to go. So I don't feel like giving him a chance to say to do the things that he says he's going to do. And protesting is a First Amendment right. And if you don't think a protest can be effective, after the election of Obama, they put on an 8-year fucking protest called the Tea Party, and they managed to take over the United States government in less than a decade. So don't tell me that protesting has never done anything, because that's just a way for you to justify your own inaction. If you're pissed off, say it. If you're really upset, say it. If you have something to say, for the love of God, say it. We don't care if you agree or disagree with us, but don't try to shame us into silence. Don't try to tell us that our voice doesn't matter, or that protesting doesn't matter, or that being heard doesn't matter, because those same people are the ones who have said that young people don't do anything and never get involved except on Facebook. Well, fuck you. When you put people in a no-win situation where no matter what they do, you can criticize them for being a thing, you're just trying to justify everything you have and not let anybody challenge it. People have seen rights and privileges as a zero-sum game, that if others are catching up, then that means that others must be losing it, and that's not the case. All the people who are about to take control have made it perfectly clear who they prefer. White, straight, cis Christians. The true oppressed minority of America. So for everybody else, including those within that demographic who see this as the bullshit it is, we will give you a voice and we will give you a place to air it. Granted, we probably won't be as angry or at least as aggressive as we were in the following episode, but we're not shutting down and we're not going to be silent. We will go hard Harry if we have to. It is in times where fear is highest that you have to be loudest. And if that means that they're going to take away my platform, if it means that they're going to come after us, well, so be it. All right? We're inciting incident, and we try to be fair, but that being fair does not mean pretending we don't have an opinion. If you've been listening to us, you know where we stand on a lot of things. And I will stand in the way of anybody that tries to take away rights from anyone, really. But if you go after my LGBT people, I will stand in your way. If you go after Muslims, I will stand in your way. If you go after Mexicans, I will stand in your way. If you try to make RFRA laws and change everything to suit you and nobody else, you better believe I will stand in your way, and I will use every ounce of strength and my power to be a thorn in your fucking side. And for everybody who is celebrating and using violence or trying to tell us to shut up, guess what? It ain't happening. I'm not out there hitting people, but you have just elected a reality star who could not be trusted with his own Twitter on election night. So don't tell me about being responsible, and don't pretend like you haven't been trashing the president for 8 years and are now turning around and saying, give him a chance, he's our president, we should respect him as such. If you had just been saying all this time that you wanted a white man Christian to be president again, you would probably be more respected than you are by pretending it wasn't about any of those things. There are a lot of people who simply saw gay people having rights and being allowed to do silly things like get married as a violation of their religious freedom to not be able to call them a fag. Well, I'm tired of it, okay? I'm writing a lot of these rants in a book, but we can't take the chance that we'll still have the time or the opportunity once the real fight begins. And who knows when that'll happen. It may just happen on Inauguration Day. But I'll be damned if I'm going to sit back and be silent just because it makes you uncomfortable. I will not disrespect any guests we have in here, even if they disagree with us. And I've reached out to a lot of politicians, big name politicians, who I am trying to get interviews with. and trying to have them tell us how they're either going to protect us or how going after us makes the country great, quote unquote, again. So I'm going to wrap it up there. Once again, this is a long two-part episode, and we were very emotional, and we were very, very angry. So proceed with the knowledge of that, all right? Proceed with it being 5 days from the election and us seeing a lot of horrific shit. And even a week later, those feelings are still raw, tender, and increasing. My name's Al Lehman. This is Inciting Incident number 68, brought to you from I-95 last weekend, 5 days after the United States elected Donald goddamn Trump.
Inciting Incident couldn't keep bringing you commentary, interviews, and fantastic guests without help from you, the patrons. You can support the podcast on a monthly basis at patreon.com/incitingincident, which gives you access to many great rewards, including a free t-shirt if you pledge $5 or more. You can also support the show by subscribing, rating, reviewing, and commenting. To contact them about ideas, guests, disagreements, fisticuffs, salmon slapping, rebel rousing, or just plain old tomfoolery, you can email them at incitingincidentpodcast@gmail.com. On Facebook, at facebook.com/incitingincidentpodcast. Or yell into a tin cup and hope it's connected to one of our aforementioned string networks. And now, back to the show.
Good evening and welcome to Inciting Incident number 68. We are coming to you live from, looks like Jacksonville, but I'm not 100% sure.
We could just be live from I-95. That's yeah. Where we're
going to
be.
We're going to be there for a few hundred miles. So you're getting a road trip edition of Inciting Incident. I'm your host, Al Lehman, and joining me is my totally awesome life partner and co-host, Astrid Isley. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And a new guest, our special guest, our fellow road trip person, is someone who doesn't want you to know who she really is because she's escaped from the mob. I mean, because we're going to be talking about fun stuff.
That's racist. I'm Italian.
I did not know that, so it was ignorant, not racist.
It's a joke. I was joking.
Of course. Victoria with a K. Welcome back.
Okay, so I'm going to tell the story again.
Yes,
right.
Do.
So I've told it twice off air now. when I was given my real name by my parents, they gave it to me specifically so that I would not be given nicknames. And it worked. I also kind of believe in the mystic power of names. So, like, I both live up to what my name means and also have a hell of a time both receiving and obtaining nicknames. Like, I give people nicknames, but I don't have one, short of a shortening of my real name. And it is also a very unique real name. If you were to know what it was and Google it, you could just find me. And I have a, you know, if we're going to talk about deeply controversial and personal things, I would rather those not be associated with such a large audience with my real identity professionally. But I'm more than happy to talk about them. So I'm just going to rip off the name of a character I really like, so I'm Victoria with a K.
Woo!
Do you hear that? We have a large audience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I also do a podcast, but it has an audience of like a half dozen.
Dang.
And four of them are the hosts.
We've been there.
Yeah.
We have been there.
Yeah. I understand. And like, we're really doing that sort of thing for us.
Sure.
But I go by my real name there, too.
Oh. So we can't plug your podcast.
Right. Please don't.
Okay. don't listen to Victoria's podcast.
Because then they'll know exactly who I am.
Well, you just said only two people would. Just
right,
saying.
Yeah. Still, though, I would prefer not to.
And we respect wishes on this podcast, unless your name is Donald Trump and ask to be not called a douchebag. We respect those wishes.
Yeah. You could plug it on the bonus content.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if your specific little followers do that. I love the exclusive group of paywalled folks.
So if you want to figure out Victoria's real name, go to patreon.com/incitingincident.
If the mystery of figuring out who I really am drives you to give Inciting Incident money,
yeah,
then I'm all about that.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And if any other reason drives you to give us money, we're cool with that too. If you're hate fuck listening to us, give us money, and you can hate fuck us all you want. I don't care.
Yo, if you're hate listening right now, honestly, why wouldn't you give us money? Because then we have to compliment you on the show.
Yeah.
That's part of the fucking deal.
See the trap there? Maybe you're the racist. All right, so we've already recorded some bonus content, which will be available to those paying patrons, but we're going to do this as the main episode with the actual microphone, because this is something we've been planning for a while. Different road trips, we've said, we should record some shit in the car. And what a time for us to decide to do that, huh?
Yeah.
I also suspect that you guys will slip and you will call me by my real name because of the mystic power that my mother placed upon my real name and its inability to be anything other than my name. So every time they say my name wrong, we're going to bleep it out.
Yep, and to be fair, you slipped up in the
baby.
Yeah,
yeah.
So we have yet to slip up.
I'm under the curse of my own name.
No,
like
I did once.
And if I say it too, bleep me out as well. Like,
yeah.
No one in this recording session is exempt from
yeah.
it, and it's tremendous power. Will continue to. It will resist its ability to not be my name.
We will censor you, Victoria. We will censor you.
Yeah.
So. We last recorded during election night with Chris Cluey, which was amazing, of course, but it was an interesting disposition to have such a bright, fun, optimistic social justice warrior like Chris Cluey while that guy was elected to the highest office in the land. And as of this recording, it's been about 5 days, and shit's going surprisingly exactly like we thought it would. So, last 5 days, what do you guys think? Like, where do we even start?
I ascended to a new plane of anger. I was awash in the rage from Twitter. Like, that was my coping mechanism. Like, some people are like, don't get mad, calm down. And I'm like, no, I think I'm going to become transcendently angry. If I could have become a Red Lantern in the last weekend, you know, for the dorks who get that, I would have just become empowered by the sheer force of my rage. And this is also why I'm talking under a pseudonym, too.
Yeah, because you're with some real live revolutionaries.
I personally just, like, fucking embraced the fact that I am undoubtedly an anarcho-communist. I just didn't really understand what that meant before, and fuck it. I have been pushed to the edge. I'm sending you postcards via inciting incident, but fuck it. I'm a radical militant leftist. I was at a demonstration on the 5th in Black Bloc, and I got the people in Black Bloc were referred to in the media as militant anti-fascists. So, fuck it. That's what I am. Burn everything down. Fuck the system.
Yeah, if we have to be militant to be anti-fascist, fuck it. We're militant.
You say militant anti-fascist like it's a bad thing.
Right. Like,
right?
Yeah, how dare you speak out against Nazis?
Right?
Right.
How dare you demonstrate against people who like the number one supervillain ever given to fiction? Except he existed and killed people.
Also, miss me with that peaceful protest shit.
Yeah.
For real, oh my god. Peaceful protesting is for minor community disturbances. Like, if you don't want that fucking Starbucks to be built, go have a peaceful protest at the construction site. That type of shit. That's fine. Peaceful protest, all you want. But when we're literally on the brink, when we are in situations that we are in, like, right the fuck now, where, like, I'm scared shitless that my trans friends are going to hurt themselves because I completely understand why they would, you know? When we are in a time where I'm actually fighting Nazis. Like, I'm 22. I was born in 1994. We are in a time where I am actually fighting fucking Nazis. Fuck it. Fuck it.
Yeah. We used to be at a place where we could at least agree that Nazis are bad. But now, there's not only Nazis who feel empowered by this guy we just elected.
Now, liberals are Nazi apologists.
Yes. And if you're a Nazi apologist, get the fuck off of this show. I don't want to hear any of that bullshit. It's been 5 days and I'm already sick of it.
You know, I was really kind of hoping that if there was ever a phase in my life where I was going to literally fight Nazis, that I would also have superpowers or like a Zeppelin or something to go with it.
Well, we should. I mean, we totally should.
I'm just disappointed by the circumstances in which I find myself literally fighting Nazis. Like, it's not as cool as I thought it was going to be. It's really actually kind of terrifying.
It's not all that cool to have to do this. Fuck this. Fuck you. Fuck.
Yeah. So let's back up. There was something you said that I think we should really back up and explain to people because some well-meaning liberals don't understand it. So let's back up and talk about the idea of not telling people to calm down and not telling people to be afraid, saying these cliches like, it's going to be okay, you know, we've survived worse presidents. Well, that's your fucking privilege talking. So
you may fucking have. You may have survived Reagan, but for people like me, millions of people died. It's not worth going back to that. People didn't survive Reagan. People aren't going to survive this.
Yeah, and, you know, if you want to go back even further, you know, a lot of black people were kind of murdered by the state. How many times? They didn't survive that okay, so right now, I'm not saying you're a bad person if you're white, but if you're white and not seeing how this presidency is going to make any difference contrasted with anything else, you need to wake the fuck up and start listening.
For real. And, like, honestly, I feel the need to clarify, because there are a lot of people who would agree with this but are still fucking up. This is not a direct attack on, like, liberals collectively. It's just an attempt at a fucking wake-up call, because what the fuck, okay? I understand that you want peace, love, and tolerance, but that doesn't exist when we're tolerating Nazis.
Yep.
Fascism does not lead to tolerance. Being tolerant of intolerance is fucking absurd.
I read a really great thing on my Facebook feed about this whole tolerance idea. Let me find it.
It was probably posted by me.
No, it was posted by my friend Rachel, who is also awesome. Okay, she reshared this from Twitter. I would love to give credit for whoever did it, but it's just a screen capture, so I don't know. It says, there's this thing I am seeing unfold, and I want to just make a point about. I was planning on leaving it as a comment on someone's post, but I'm going to foreground it here so it doesn't appear to be blaming any one person. Nevertheless, I'm sure it will lose me friends. Oh well. It's this. There's an emerging narrative of the losing side in this election, the presumably liberal side, scorned and refused to understand the outraged conservative side, and that it will take to what it will take to heal the divided country is the losing side admitting that it got the winners wrong. People, look. This is a rhetorical judo move. It's using your best impulses, liberal impulses, to understand, to negotiate, to extend compassion, and find common ground against you. Think back to 8 years ago when Obama swept the country. How much did you see, then, of the core right wing saying, gee, we got the country wrong. We should be humble and try to understand the beliefs of the winners. A few Republicans tried. They wrote a brief about how the platform was alienating voters they might want to attract. Their ideas were shoved aside, and the hard right wing went on a scorched earth instead. The truth is that the winning side, the people who want Trump, what Trump promised, don't give a fig for your understanding. They don't need your common ground. They already got what they want. The assertion that you owe a debt of understanding to the people who embrace Trump is a distraction meant to dissipate your energy. Save your compassion for the people who he's going to hurt.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, nobody fucking won this election. Everybody lost. Every single person has lost this election. Globally, it is lose times fucking 7 billion.
Yeah.
But this compassion that we have really, really, really fucking needs to be focused on taking care of each other, and I'm not referring to fascists. I'm not referring to Nazis. Fuck them. We need to collectively work together to protect the working class. Because honestly, why is anybody surprised by the outcome? Kind of called it from the fucking second debate and tried to be in denial about it for the sake of my mental health. But seriously, when you have one option who addresses a fucking problem, even if he does it well, problem of the working class, and the other option is basically running on, hey, I'm not that.
Yeah.
What do you think's gonna happen?
Ask John Kerry how well that turned out.
Yeah. You can't treat the working class, you can't treat the proletariat like shit and then be mad when they don't do what you want. Dear liberals,
yeah.
If you want to practice what you preach, it's not in your best interest to want us to be kind to Nazis and Klansmen and fascists and shit. Be kind to the fucking proletariat. Sure, let's fucking unite. Let's get some serious fucking solidarity going. But let's not unite in a way that's like, hey, let's give the Nazis a chance.
Yeah, let's not give the Nazis a chance.
Let's not. Let's never give the Nazis a chance. I personally don't give a shit how inflammatory I am in regards to Nazis. If you see a Nazi, just punch them in the fucking face. Just straight up, just deck them.
I would not recommend decking a Nazi if you're not alone.
Yeah, definitely keep it as a, like, buddy system,
yeah,
type of thing.
Yeah, have backup if you're gonna just go around punching white supremacists, because they're full of aggression.
Yeah.
And might kill you. So don't do that without taking a calculated risk.
Yeah. It's a calculated risk, definitely. But, fuck Nazis.
Yes. We just had an event where, okay, first of all, there's a lot of people right now who say either I or someone I love didn't vote for Trump because of his racism or misogyny or whatever. But here's the thing. Your reason for voting for him doesn't matter. The fact is, you knew about these things and voted for him anyway. So you are complicit. No matter how good your intentions were, you saw Mr. Grab'em by the pussy and went, yeah, well, I don't like that, but I think the way he addresses the economy is better, so I'm going to vote for him for that reason. Okay, but you still voted in the guy who openly brags about sexual assault. So you're complicit in this. Sorry. I'm not. Someone told me that I need to respect everyone's choice. No, I fucking don't. I can respect their right to a choice, but I can still openly say, you made a shitty fucking choice. And not to say that the other option was the best totes option ever, but the other option was not a criminal, fascist, rapist, sexual assaulting, woman-hating douchebag who has incited violence against people, and it's been 5 days. If you are empowering white supremacists, Nazis, Klansmen, misogynists, rapists, maybe you need to reevaluate your position, because I know I voted against this motherfucker and I'm really pissed.
What's like Brexit all over again? That didn't even happen a long time ago. That was a couple months ago. Did none of you pay attention? Wait, I know the answer to that.
Yeah, because the number one Google search after that from England was, what does Brexit mean?
Right, well, I feel like it's the same cultural phenomenon that led to allowing that to happen, just with a big old side order of voter suppression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, honestly, I'm less focused on the why did this happen and the how did this happen than I am about making sure it doesn't fucking happen anymore. Because, like, I see tons of people with these self-serving, any Trump voters and Trump voter apologists posts need to get the fuck off of my Facebook or whatever. Fuck that, okay? If you want to join a resistance to Trump, you need to do so in a way that engages all of the people that you've been alienating for fucking forever who actually went out and voted for Trump, despite it not being in their best interests, because nothing is in their best interests.
Yeah. Well said. And by that, we're not saying don't block people who attack you or something, because that's totally okay. And, you know, I understand people need to do things for their own sanity. There's a lot of self-care right now, and people self-care in different ways. And we're definitely not shaming anybody for that. But what we are saying is don't put yourself in an echo chamber, because that's just as dangerous. Look what just happened.
Yeah, and I mean, like, me personally, for example, I also, much like the people making these posts, fucking hate white supremacists. Fucking hate it. I hate every single white supremacist that has ever lived. Every single one. I wish all of the worst things upon them. Fuck, I forgot where I was going into that.
No, that's pretty good. Say that alone.
Yeah.
Just jump in and say, curate your space however you feel, you know,
oh,
is
right.
appropriate.
Right.
It's your space.
I fucking hate white supremacy. I hate bigots. I hate oppression. Aggressively. Like, I'm actually out there in the streets fucking fighting this shit. However, I'm able to express my disdain for Trump and for Trump supporters without being classist. Don't be classist. In a class war, unless you are the fucking 1%, unless you're so wealthy that none of this shit even affects you, you might want to just fucking join in with the rest of us, you know?
Yeah.
We can totally pull off an everyone versus white supremacy type of thing, but not if you're going to treat the proletariat like shit.
Yeah, which liberals have for far too long. You know, there's been a lot of condescending. There's been a lot of complete alienation, characterizing, stereotyping, and that shit's got to stop because... You know, there may be one who's an abrasive douchebag, but the other was a smug elite, and people don't respond to that, as you can see from what happened. You know, go ahead.
Honestly, I'm still not comfortable with people criticizing Trump for being racist, but not criticizing Hillary for being racist. Hillary's racist as shit.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she's an old white woman.
I know plenty of old white women
who... She's
a
rich old white woman.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
and a career politician.
She worked for Goldwater.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, people could grow up at it and learn more out of that. So, yeah. Like, but a southern rich white woman.
Yeah.
That's, like, even if you try not to be, you're still kind of a racist grandma. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Not my abuela.
And you know what? Yeah, she was flawed. She is flawed. She did a lot of shit wrong, but... You know, her campaign was basically a third Obama term, keeping the status quo. And I take that over the dumpster fire that's already erupted 10 times out of 10.
Would much rather have that than a fascist.
Yep. Yeah.
Because, like, look, I'm both angry Twitter, so I'm not going to get my Twitter handle out. That'll also incriminate me. Also associated with my real identity, because it refuses to not be anything other than that. But anyway, angry on Twitter, very angry on Twitter. Just a stream of constant retweets of things I think are important and that should be out there. But one of the... Why was I talking about angry Twitter?
Ways you're dealing with it.
Right, ways I'm dealing with it, but it was, had something to do with Hillary and...
Yeah, I was going for the point that Hillary's not actually, like, better. It's just... Like, despite the fact that I totally want to say, fuck the system, we need to get all of the power in the hands of the workers, we need to do better, burn the shit down. Even though I'm totally fucking like that, I would vastly prefer a president who doesn't make my friends want to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. And right, people were retweeting stuff about, like, the history of fascists, like actual historians coming out on Twitter and being like, look, you don't understand, this is the end of America as a democracy. Like, it will become, he is an autocrat, it will become an autocratic state, this means fascism. Like, there are direct historical comparisons to the rise of Nazism and a bunch of other dictators. Like, I was retweeting all of this really important historical information because the parallels are incredibly important. And, like, I feel like a crazy person saying, no, this is the end of America as a free state. Like, if we do not stop this from happening, we are going to have a dictator.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, like, I'm fucking obsessed with sociology and anthropology and linguistics and all of these types of science that have ended me with the label SJW.
Right.
I'm really, really fucking into that shit. And I've known for years that there are specific societal conditions that always, or damn near always, lead to genocide and fascism and dictatorship. relationships and all that type of shit. We've been in them for quite some time. Yes. And here we are.
Someone else pointed out that this isn't the start of something. It's where we've been hurtling towards.
Yes. Yep. Yes. And if we don't want this to happen, we need to fucking act now. Like, wasn't it like Hitler himself that said if anybody wanted to stop the rise of the Nazis, that they needed to, like, violently protest in the streets as soon as it was starting?
Yeah.
I don't remember the direct quote, but even they know that we need to do this if we don't want it to happen.
And, you know, the other political powers at the time were also like, that is, no, he's kidding.
Yeah.
And I shared a really important thing that was about, okay, let me break this thought, then can we stop at the first restaurant? We just entered Georgia, and I need to pee.
Hit pause.
Yeah. Well, I can finish.
There you go. So anyway, you were talking about autocrats.
Right. Autocrats. And an article that I had retweeted and forwarded on Facebook, actually. Because I try to keep my activism on Facebook to a minimum, but that's going to change.
Yeah.
Real quick. I felt like I kept my mouth shut for too long. So there was an article a journalist had written basically talking about how they had lived in autocratic states, and a number of them, and it was like basically a checklist of things you should do if you want to survive an autocrat, and the first one was believe everything he says. None of it is a joke. Like, I'm going to ban all Muslims. He means it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if it doesn't happen, you should still act like it's going to. And that was, I wanted to bring up that being as rule number one, because I think a lot of people think that's fake. It's posturing, and there's direct parallels to other autocratic fascist dictators who have done similar things where they say, you know, I'm just going to kill all the Jews. And people are like, you kidder, that's funny. And no, that's not a joke. There's also a bizarre parallel, because I've been listening to a lot of true crime podcasts. Because when I get, like, emotionally rot, I just want to look at something horrible in the face and be like, ah.
Tragedy porn, I get it.
Yeah. And I thoroughly enjoyed last podcast on the left's exhaustively researched episodes. I was listening to a lot of stuff about serial killers, and there have been a couple instances where the serial killer, like, was with a taxi driver, or even hell, a policeman, and they were like, wow, this bag is heavy, what do you got in there, a body? And they were like, yeah. And they were like, oh, you're, what a kidder, you're funny.
You!
Yeah. And the answer was, of course, that was the truth, you know? Like, so, you know, if you think of it that way, do you really want a serial killer? Someone with something like that similar to a serial killer for you to be in charge of the country? Fuck no.
Like, I've been saying this since his campaign really got serious. You know, I did a bonus episode. It was like number 6 or something, you know, way back in the beginning of this podcast. And a lot of people told me that I was being hyperbolic and paranoid. I said that I am terrified of Donald Trump, that I am terrified of all the things he could do to Muslims, Mexicans, and LGBT people. He wants to hurt people that I love. And a lot of you told me I was overreacting. Well, now, what, 8 trans people have committed suicide at least? Race attacks are happening. People are being attacked for being women. They're being attacked for being Muslim. They're being attacked for everything because this guy was empowering people.
And, like, guys, we totally recognize that there are plenty of sensationalist news stories from people who are bullshitting. However, not to harp on the I'm actually in the fucking streets point too much, I'm actually in the fucking streets. I see this shit happening more and more frequently, more and more blatantly, more and more violently. Fuck you. Fuck that. Fuck no. Fuck.
Yeah, and let's clarify, we are I don't want to say we're absolutely terrified. We are, but we are not surprised. This has been one of the main narratives of Inciting Incident. It's that Trump has appealed to people by saying everything's so PC and I say what's on my mind. Yeah, this is why we have PC. We have PC so that racists feel bad or at least get shamed into not talking. We have PC so that people who think women are sex objects are rightfully shamed for having their shitty opinions. We have those things so that other people who are not straight, white, cis, hetero, you know, Christians actually have some societal measure of protection, even if that's just other people going, you really shouldn't say that. PC being quote-unquote out of control is not everybody censoring you and everybody saying they're offended. It's the ability to say, hey, you're a straight white dude. Maybe you shouldn't be telling trans people what they should be afraid of, which you are now doing.
And honestly, guys, like, I just really, really, really fucking hate the term PC because, like, I personally am not PC at all. Like, earlier today at a fucking rest stop, I was talking quite loudly about how people who engage in BDSM in public, in vanilla spaces, are sexual predators. Like,
yeah,
that's not PC. No. That is not. It's just not oppressive.
Also, if you swap out the phrase politically correct for treating other humans decently in a sentence, that makes you sound like an asshole when you're like, this treating other humans decently is out of control.
Yeah, like, literally the only PC shit that people care about is just not being oppressive. Don't throw punches down.
Yeah, also, like, you can be horrible, offensive things without it being tasteless or oppressive.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I always try to maintain the distinction between offensive, oppressive, and just being a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's an example from the campaign. Now, this comes from Trump. Look it up if you don't believe me. When Cruz was still running against him, he said, you know, Ted Cruz, and he can't say this because, you know, everything's so PC, isn't in favor of torturing people. I think that waterboarding is effective. So saying that he hates PC because we should say that, hey, why don't we torture people? What the fuck is wrong with you?
What the fuck? Honestly, there's literally nowhere on earth where it's legal to torture people. That is a globally agreed, don't fucking do that.
And think about this outside of the context of ourselves, if you are Americans. Think of it outside of us right now. One of the most powerful nations on earth, we could debate over whether it's the most powerful nation on earth or not.
Regardless of whether we are we're still the fucking head of the Security Council of the UN, okay?
But these people, this country, just elected a guy who says that torturing people should be encouraged, who says that, hey, why don't we use nuclear bombs? Says, hey, you know that religion that's, you know, one of the top two and has a population in the billions? We should ban all of them from the countries. Do you think ISIS might be pointing to that and saying, see, look at all you refugees. They do hate you. What do you think's going to happen?
What the fuck do you think is going to happen? And, like, honestly, back to the whole head of the Security Council of the UN. I recognize that the president's job is not to represent the United States in the fucking UN. I realize that we have ambassadors for that shit. But if our ambassadors go to the UN and say, hey, so I know that our president has been saying he's going to, like, torture the shit out of y'all, but that's not a thing. That's breaking the rules of your fucking job as the ambassador for the United States. Like, what are we gonna fucking do other than stop this from happening?
So what also kind of really scares me on a long term, well, there's a couple things that scare me in the long term, but the first of which, well, because, okay, so I think the whole, like, we're gonna become an autocratic fascist state, that's gonna happen really fast. It happened in Germany in a course of 6 months. Like, I looked at the timeline, someone shared that on Twitter, I retweeted it, it's in my stream of angry retweets, and it happened super fast, it happened essentially overnight in the course of world history, and if it happens here, we're gonna probably do the same thing, unless we fight to resist it, which I intend to.
And yes. We will.
And we will. Yeah.
See you in the streets, motherfuckers.
Yeah. I have never been so motivated to fight in the street. But,
me either.
The other sort of long-term thing that scares me is that, like, so in previous instances, we've been the people who, like, bust up fascist regimes, you know.
Or at least like to portray that we do.
Or at least like to portray that we do, you know, help it somehow. assume, you know, we can put our dick in it later.
Yeah.
I understand that. Like, I understand it's not all good. I'm not portraying the United States of America as the good guy at all, but definitely previously mostly anti-fascist.
Yeah.
Like, honestly,
so who's going to save us?
Yeah, like, anytime there has been a country in which, quote-unquote, rebels are trying to rise up against a fascist government, we give them fucking guns.
Yeah.
Where's my AK, motherfucker?
Yeah, who's gonna support our revolution? Not the French.
Not the French.
Yeah, they got in trouble for that.
Well, I bet, like, Le Pen and the right-wing movement in France right now? Anybody paying attention to that?
Yeah.
And certainly not Grandpa Britain. Grandpa Britain set the bad example. Is Canada, our attractive but quiet older brother, going to save us? Is Canada gonna help us out?
I feel like if we weren't collectively so fucking racist and classist, we could probably get help from Mexico or, I don't know, like, the islands in the Caribbean that have risen up against fascism in the past.
Yeah.
Any of the countries, maybe even Egypt, where rebels are fucking out there in the shit. But we've been assholes, and now we are collectively alone fighting this giant monster.
Yeah, and that scares me.
That's fucking horrifying.
And if not that, then if somehow it doesn't become an odd, like, if somehow the people who are like, there are checks and balances are right, which I don't believe they are, but, you know, I can't predict the future, nor am I a historian, so I could be wrong, and God, I hope I am. You know, even if we stay even nominally a democracy the way we are now, like, so we're, you know, we know Trump is buddies with Putin and Russia, so at what point do the two of them decide they're gonna fuck China? And we owe China an awful lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a, like, I was pointing out that a World War III could happen very easily and very quickly. Like, there's a lot of entangling alliances out there. At what point do Putin and Trump go riding bears and decide that they would like to rule the world together and fuck China? And then what happens, you know? And I feel like that's not a wild, out-of-the-blue fantasy. I feel like that is a thing that could reasonably happen.
Yeah.
Especially when you elect someone who has no filter and no regard for anything outside of himself.
Or let's say something else minor happens, like he's supposed to be on a diplomatic flight to Fuckistan, and he mouths off, and that triggers a Franz Ferdinand event. Who, he was a minor noble, but it was the fact that one thing happened that triggered off a whole bunch of other things because of alliances and that sort of thing. Like, what happens if something like that happens again, where it looks like it's nothing, but it sure as fuck isn't?
Yeah.
And probably the third biggest thing that's also going to make me sound crazy, but I seriously mean this, is that if we have, you know, a Republican regime that ignores science and defunds all our science programs, we're gonna die, like, as a species. There is a mass extinction event happening right now. It's going on.
It is overdue and here.
Well, no, it is overdue, but it, like, because of science and our ability to adapt, and, like, we're smart and we have technology, we can slow it down.
Yeah.
Or at least...
We could.
We have the ability to survive the mass extinction, but we have to be ahead of it. We are behind the eight ball, people. Like, we are already too late to save ourselves completely from climate change, which is fucking real.
Despite the fact that we just elected somebody who denies it.
Denies it, yeah.
And thinks it's a fucking conspiracy, right, perpetrated by those people we owe trillions of dollars to.
If we continue to ignore the fact that both the world is changing, which is actually pretty normal geologically, and that, you know, a mass extinction is happening, which, again, is also pretty ordinary, geologically speaking, and don't preempt it or find a way to save ourselves, either by, like, going to space or, you know, finding other mechanisms of adapting when we don't have bees anymore, we're gonna die! All of us are gonna die! And I mean that 100% seriously.
Yeah, and I know there are some of you who are listening to us right now and saying, well, gee, Al, you know, you usually treat people with respect and are very calm and accepting, and that's true. But I'm also really fucking motivated by the turn of events. being nice didn't get us anywhere. And we are still nice people, but we are also terrified people who see the potential for terrible, terrible things. And there's a time to be nice, there's a time to be open and welcoming and accepting. That time is definitely not when we elect Donald fucking Trump.
I don't know about that. I feel like it's still totally, totally fucking valid to be like, hey, love and acceptance, whatever. However, we just need to fucking listen to historians when they say, just by the way, guys, being tolerant of fascism usually leads to fascism.
Yeah. And I'm not saying we're going to start hate fucking people. I'm not saying that, you know.
Start.
Yeah. I'm not saying we're completely changing the show or who we are or the way we treat our individual guests and listeners, because let's face it, we haven't had any events where we've had to throw out a guest or where we've had a listener who doesn't get it or anything. So, you know, the show isn't going to change, but at the same time, I'm sure you can tell from listening, I'm a bit more assertive than I usually am, because this actually happening overnight made me really, really goddamn angry and really, really goddamn motivated.
And I know that there are people out there who may or may not be listening right now who are like, heard the nerd, this happens every election, people always freak out about impending fascism, blah, 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 this is normal. This is not fucking normal, and I'm going to share a story that's practically a fucking fairy tale that my mother told me, and it's a factual story of a thing that happened. My mother, in the 80s, lived in Atlanta, Georgia, and there was a man who was schizophrenic, and he went into a hospital freaking the fuck out because he thought somebody was trying to kill him. So naturally, given that this was a paranoid schizophrenic man, they pumped him full of tranquilizers and antipsychotics and sent him on his way, where he was gunned down in the parking lot, because just because you're paranoid doesn't mean you're wrong.
And I would rather overreact and, you know, not have this happen than the other way around. And let's just compare the two freak outs. You say this happens every election? Okay. The difference between the right wing getting super fucking motivated and trying to create militias because Obama's coming to take our guns, the difference is, if we take the metaphorical equivalent, Trump's actually saying this shit! Okay? He didn't just come out there and say, hey, let's all try to live together, and a bunch of paranoid idiots went, oh, he's coming to do whatever. He's actually saying he's going to do this! You know, you guys believed him enough to elect him. What makes you think it's not going to happen now?
And, like, honestly, fucking Obama, who, cool guy, whatever. I'm just against the system. I don't have anything against Obama personally. Obama fails that, what's it called? The Brady test, Brady scale, Brady score.
The gun thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fucking, like, how anti-gun is a politician.
He failed.
He failed. He's not anti-gun. At all, but people are freaking out. On the other hand, Trump is advocating for genocide. I have literally just in casual conversation had Trump supporters, not even affiliated with Nazis or the Klan or whatever, inform me that all liberals are going to die under Trump now because he's going to politically cleanse us.
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ.
That's a thing that fucking happens in conversations that I don't even have with Nazis.
We have the screen cap. We can show you this. This guy literally said, it's not genocide, it's political cleansing.
And if anybody here listening isn't familiar with political cleansing, I guarantee you, if you fucking Google it right now, you will come across some shit that says political cleansing can range from forced migration to genocide.
Yeah.
This person who was talking about, like, earlier in the conversation said that we are all going to die because we are, like, a disease or what the fuck ever. He is advocating genocide. There is an actual threat of genocide from people who aren't even associated with white supremacist movements that are only linked to being a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
It's terrifying because I know a handful of the racist old ladies in my department. And they're not even that old. Like, I just keep saying that because it's funny sounding. It's not funny at all. And including my supervisor, who's not a grandma. She's a lady with a let me speak to your manager haircut. Who is the supervisor, which is funny, too. We're all Trump supporters, more or less, because he's funny.
Yeah, this shit ain't funny anymore.
Which is the most privileged and terrifying thing I can think of right now. And so I went to work on Wednesday morning terrified I was gonna punch an older woman in the face. Or that, like, my workplace is no longer safe.
Yeah.
Will they go for my job if they find out I'm a bit of a... Before Wednesday, I wasn't really much of a radical leftist. Maybe I kind of wanted to be, but, like...
You just hadn't been pushed to the edge yet.
I just, like, that's work. But then I was like, oh, I'm ready to do the work!
Yeah. A lot of us got complacent. The preceding podcast is owned by It's a Shameful Thing Lobsterhead, LLC. Copyright 2016, all rights reserved. For inquiries or media, please contact P.A. Torres at patorres.com.